The Black Veil by Charles Dickens. One winter evening towards the close of the year 1800, or within a year or two of that time, a young medical practitioner, recently established in business, was seated by a cheerful fire in his little parlour, listening to the wind, which was beating the rain in pattering drops against the window and rumbling dismally in the chimney. The night was wet and cold. He had been walking through mud and water the whole day, and was now comfortably reposing in his dressing gown and slippers, more than half asleep, and less than half awake, revolving a thousand matters in his wandering imagination. First he thought how hard the wind was blowing, and how the cold, sharp rain would be at that moment beating in his face if he were not comfortably housed at home. Then his mind reverted to his annual Christmas visit to his native place and dearest friends. He thought how glad they would all be to see him, and how happy it would make Rose if he could only tell her that he had found a patient at last, and hoped to have more, and to come down again in a few months' time, and marry her, and take her home to gladden his lonely fireside, and stimulate him to fresh exertions. Then he began to wonder when his first patient would appear, or whether he was destined at a special dispensation of Providence never to have any patients at all. And then he thought about Rose again, and dropped to sleep, and dreamed about her till the tones of her sweet, merry voice sounded in his ears, and her soft, tiny hand rested on his shoulder. There was a hand upon his shoulder, but it was neither soft nor tiny, its owner being a corpulent, round-headed boy, who, in consideration for the sum of 1 shilling per week and his food, was let out by the parish to carry medicine and messages. As there was no demand for the medicine, however, and no necessity for the messages, he usually occupied his unemployed hours, averaging 14 a day, in abstracting peppermint drops, taking animal nourishment, and going to sleep. "A lady, sir! A lady!" whispered the boy, rousing his master with a shake. "What lady?" cried our friend, starting up, not quite certain that his dream was an illusion, and half expecting that it might be Rose herself. "What lady? Where?" "There, sir," replied the boy, pointing to the glass door leading into the surgery, with an expression of alarm which a very unusual apparition of a customer might have tended to excite. The surgeon looked towards the door and started himself for an instant on beholding the appearance of his unlooked-for visitor. It was a singularly tall woman, dressed in deep mourning and standing so close to the door that her face almost touched the glass. The upper part of her figure was carefully muffled in a black shawl, as if for the purpose of concealment, and her face was shrouded by a thick black veil. She stood perfectly erect. Her figure was drawn up to its full height, and though the surgeon felt the eyes beneath the veil were fixed on him, she stood perfectly motionless, and evinced by no gesture whatever the slightest consciousness of his having turned towards her. "Do you wish to consult me?" he inquired with some hesitation, holding open the door. It opened inwards, and therefore the action did not alter the position of the figure, which still remained motionless on the same spot. She slightly inclined her head in token of acquiescence. "Pray walk in," said the surgeon. The figure moved a step forward, and then, turning its head in the direction of the boy, to his infinite horror, appeared to hesitate. "Leave the room, Tom," said the young man, addressing the boy, whose large round eyes had been extended to their utmost width during this brief interview. "Draw the curtain and shut the door." The boy drew a green curtain across the glass part of the door, retired into the surgery, closed the door after him, and immediately applied one of his large eyes to the keyhole on the other side. The surgeon drew a chair to the fire and motioned the visitor to a